May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The modern mystic Thomas Merton talked about the challenges posed by the rush and pressures of modern life for Christians who would be peacemakers in the world. He says, the rush and pressure of modern life allows us to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything. And to do this is to succumb to a kind of violence. The frenzy of our activism neutralizes our work for peace, he says. Come on in. Though Merton was writing in the 1960s, that quote seems very relevant to our world today, where we feel so often pulled in every which direction by all kinds of demands, distressed by the headlines in our news feed, bombarded with entertainment that offers a break from the pressure, but that really only distracts us momentarily instead of nourishing our souls. Well, today is the last Sunday in a sermon series prompted by a question from a parishioner who asked this. He said, or she, how can we access the still point, peace be still, in a culture as overwhelmingly stimulating and chaotic as our own? And in the first week, we looked at the fact that the journey of peace begins by our reconnecting with God, who is the source of peace, with Yahweh Shalom. And last week, we recalled that in the Bible, whenever we hear peace talked about, it's always talked about hand in hand with justice. Peace and the seeking of justice always go hand in hand. So as we reconnect with Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he calls you and me to live in the world as peacemakers. And then this week, we're looking at sort of, I think, what the heart of that question was, how do we experience that peace day to day in our lives? So the question of how we experience God's peace in ourselves is a big question, but for the sake of a shorter summer sermon, I'm going to keep the answer really simple. Here it is. If you want to experience God's peace in yourself, then you need to consciously seek contact day by day with the source of peace, who is God. And worship, Scripture says, is a sure way to usher us into God's presence, the presence of the Lord of peace. The rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel once said that what we're doing when we worship is learning to see the world around us in the light of God. That's what worship is training us to do, to see the world in the light of God. When we focus our eyes in worship on God, we get a glimpse again of God's goodness, God's power, God's love for us, God's good purposes for us and for the world. It's the light of God, and it dissipates, like light does, the darkness. When we focus on God, we can experience afresh God's peace, even if it's just in that moment of worship. In really simple terms, worship is the conscious effort to be present to God in praise, in gratitude, in supplication, in quiet adoration. So worship is everything that we're doing here this morning together. This is worship. And it's also what you do on your own during the week, whether it's consciously placing yourself in God's presence as you listen to a CD of worship music and sing, as you read a daily devotion, or as you pray. However, if Sunday is the only time, this is important what we're doing, we're helping each other to worship, But if this is the only time that you worship God during the week, I can guarantee that you'll be arriving to Sunday mornings often running just on fumes. So as we set aside time for Sunday morning worship, we need to step out of the frenzied pace of our lives, even just for a few moments, to be quiet with God in the course of our day-to-day living. So the text that I want to offer you this morning is the one that Michelle read for us from Psalm 46. And if you want to turn to that passage in your scriptures, it's Psalm 46, so I'm not sure which page. And there's one phrase in particular that I want to give you this morning to take away with you this week, and it's this: be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And that verse reminds us of the importance of regularly stepping outside of the rat race to be still before God and to reconnect with God, the source of peace. Now, it's a bit of a strange psalm, this Psalm 46, because in those opening verses, the psalmist is holding together two really powerful Old Testament images that seem to be in opposition with one another. One is the image of the wilderness, the Mount of God, where there was trembling and upheaval, the harsh reality of the desert, the wilderness place where the people of Israel wandered for 40 years. And then suddenly, without warning, he's painting for us, right side by side, the picture of the promised land, the holy habitation of the Lord. In my opinion, it's a bit choppy from a literary perspective. It's a bit awkward. But from a spiritual perspective, I find it so comforting. Because isn't that like our lives? So much like our lives. We move between the desert place and the holy habitation from moment to moment, week to week. Some days we're moving from the desert place to the holy habitation even in the same day. Our lives have troubles and hope, joy and sorrow, living side by side. And then again, awkwardly, the peaceful land of promise, if you look in the passage, it suddenly finds itself surrounded by the warring nations, destroying one another in the earth. It's confusing as you read the psalm because it comes out of nowhere. And it's also distressing because that's so much the echo of our world today, with war and conflict and distress. And it's in the midst of that distress that those great words in Scripture come. And it's Yahweh Shalom who speaks them and says, "Stop, be still, and know that I am God." Well, thankfully, here in Canada, we don't have real battles going outside these doors. But just as the war of nation draws away from the peaceful vision of the holy habitation, so the warring demands in our lives pull us away from abiding in Jesus and towards abiding in frenzy and anxiety and fear. The good news is that Yahweh Shalom still speaks with authority in our world and in our lives, and still speaks to you and me today, saying, "Peace, be still, and know that I am God." Now, I should clarify that being still before God doesn't always mean literally being still. John Cashin, who was a great spiritual father, leader in the 5th century, he would tell his monks that while they prayed and meditated, they should weave baskets, basket weaving. They should do something with their hands, because he understood that sometimes just a little bit of physical movement focuses the mind. So I know a lot of people who knit. That does not help me because that requires my entire focus and it makes me cranky and miserable. But for good knitters, just a little bit of movement focuses the mind. St. Augustine had a phrase, "Solvitur ambulando. It is solved by walking. And I know many, many people have told me that when they want to be with God and to just get rid of all the anxious thoughts from work or from the day, they go for a walk and some people for a bike ride. Now, I mentioned prayer and meditation as different things, and there are similarities and differences between prayer and meditation. And prayer, they're both about spiritual exercises that are meant to bring us into the contact with Yahweh Shalom, with the God of peace. But prayer is generally it's about talking to God, my talking to God. And meditation is instead about my being silent before God. And the focus is, instead of talking to God and telling God what's on my mind, enjoying God's presence and trying to listen to God. So when we talk to God, when we pray, we may be praising God or adoring God, or we may be telling God our problems. And so that verse that I gave the kids this morning is the same. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And that's what we do in prayer. We hand over to God those things that weigh us down and rob us of peace. Meditation, in a biblical sense, is about purposefully settling ourselves before God, opening our hearts and minds to God's presence. The first step in meditation, of course, is to be still. Who struggles with that? It's very hard to be still before God. But if we're going to listen to God, we have to be quiet first. And that's not an easy thing to do. For myself, I like to sit in a chair and I like to listen to music, but without words. I like to listen to worship music that's instrumental. Other people I know, I've told you already, I know lots of people who like to go for a walk. And as they walk, they begin to find their mind calming and quieting. Each of us has to find what works for us in helping us to settle our minds. But before we can listen, we have to be quiet enough to hear. Now, I want to be upfront about how misleading all this is. I realize this makes it sound much, much easier than it is, because if I'm having a face-to-face conversation, say, with Rebecca, and I decide I'm going to stop talking so I can hear Rebecca speak, if I stop talking, she's going to use words that I can hear. It's not a big deal for us to hear other people speak, so long as we have our hearing aids on, but it is very difficult to hear God speak, because God does not speak audibly. Likewise, if Rebecca and I are going for a walk and we're just enjoying each other's presence, it's not difficult for me to remember Rebecca's presence with me, because she's a physical presence, but God is not physically present to us when we pray. So how on earth do you stay present to a God who does not speak audibly and to a God who is not physically sitting right beside you? Some people with better disciplined minds than mine manage to stay consciously present to God by thinking of those errant thoughts that come their way like balloons. And when the thought comes, gosh, I need to pay the hydro bill. It's just to release that thought into the air. When a distressing thought, how am I going to pay the bills, I don't have enough money, comes, then they release the thought and in prayer turn the concern over to God. God, please help me in this situation. And they resume their meditation. Now, if I go for a walk in the woods with God, within a few minutes, I personally, the balloon thing doesn't work for me. I'm composing my grocery list. I'm writing a sermon. I'm problem solving at work. I'm thinking about one of you and praying for you. My mind is like a busy little squirrel, always gathering nuts. So if you have a mind like a busy squirrel, then I recommend giving your mind something to focus on. something really concrete. And I give my mind scripture to focus on. So, for example, you could take today's text that I've given you, "Be still and know that I am God." And you can choose that as the text for your meditation as you settle in God's presence. And you say those words again and again and allow those words to become intertwined with your breath. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And you can repeat these scriptures as you walk or as you sit or as you pray. And you can choose scriptures. If you don't know where to find them in the Bible, do a Google search. Google will turn up anything. You may want to search about trusting God, about do not fear, or you may want to have your short scripture to focus on an attribute of God, God's glory, God's goodness, God's love. Meditating on scripture like this, in this way, where you hold on to one verse of scripture and repeat it again and again in God's presence, it's been compared to like soaking a bag of tea in water. So hearing God's word, like we did this morning when Michelle read Psalm 46, that's like taking a tea bag and dipping it in once. We hear it and we receive it. Studying scripture is like, you know, giving a few dips of that tea bag into your water. But meditating on a passage with your whole heart and mind and body and soul engaged is like soaking in that verse. And it brews a cup of tea that you can drink from, a cup of peace that really settles in your body and in your heart. So just like tea, a bag of tea will color the water, so meditating on a word of scripture colors our thinking. If you spend time meditating on God's kindness, you find yourself naturally wanting to practice kindness in yourself. If we meditate on the attributes of God's peace, his mercy and justice and love, we find ourselves naturally reconnecting with that heavenly vision of God's peace and mercy and love. Sunday worship is an important time where we refresh and we renew ourselves in God's presence. And we do it together, and it's a good exercise for us to do together. But throughout the week, Yahweh Shalom invites us to constantly find ways to step outside of the frenzy of our lives, to be still, to know that he is God, and to drink of the cup of peace that he offers each one of us. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you that in Jesus you restore us to peace with you. And we thank you that Jesus shows us the way of peace and invites us to walk in that way, sharing your peace with the world. And Father, we thank you for the reminder from this question from a parishioner of the importance of constantly seeking to reconnect with you, who is the source of our peace, so that the peace that you always are ready to offer us, we might enjoy in ourselves and allow your peace to color our thinking and our actions and our emotions. So go ahead of us this week as people here try meditation, perhaps for the first time. I pray that you will bless them in this exercise. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.